Hello and welcome to Under the Scales. Under the Scales mobile studio is in New York City. Actually, I want to thank Alex, whose show Briz Studios is actually hosting us today. So I didn't actually bring the Under the Scales mobile studio to New York. But anyway, we're here in the East Village, and our guests today are Scott Rogowski. Hey, Scott.
Hey there.
And co-host is RJ B. How are you, RJ?
Hey, I'm great. Good to see you guys.
And a quick reminder, Under the Scales is a proud member of the Osiris family of podcasts. Go to osirispod.com to check out other music and culture podcasts. Now that we got that legalese over with.
Get stranded for a moment,
yes,
if you will.
Stranded.
On the ocean of Osiris. Is that not what this is all based on, the Osiris Network?
It totally is.
It has to be, right?
We really should have caught that. We should have caught that pun.
I'm a trivia guy.
So, if you have to rhyme something with papyrus, what else do you have? There's not much.
Virus, recursive virus.
That's in there. They did that.
Gyrus.
So anyway, Scott, of course, is the famous host of HQ Trivia. It's an app that's taken the world by storm, and literally by storm, right, Scott?
It is. It started as a Category 4. Made landfall as a Category 4, and now it's more of a tropical depression. It's sort of simmering off the coast of Cape Hatteras, but moving up slowly. It'll be probably a strong breeze.
Leaving destruction in its wake, or hopefully happy smiles?
Happiness,
and,
yeah. No, we're there.
Money.
It's a money cyclone. It's incredible.
It's like the opposite of the storms that we've been having.
I know. Cash cane. It's a cash cane.
A cash cow, I think, is the term.
A cash cow for the founders, yeah.
So that was going to be one of my questions. Are you a founder? Did you create this? Did you invent it? Did you code it in your closet?
HQ Trivia. Do you want to give a brief? Should I give a brief synopsis of what it is before I explain get down to the nitty gritty, as I say?
Yep.
HQ Trivia is something I did not found. It was founded by the two guys who started Vine, the 6-second video app. But it is the thing. I was the original host. I started hosting it in June 2017 or July 2017. It's a live trivia app. You play on your phone, you answer questions to win cash. And we've been going strong for over a year now. So I'm a de facto founder of this HQ thing, I guess, just because I was, one of the first 8 people in the office there and the guy who hosted it. But no, I don't have the equity stake, unfortunately.
I hope you have a little stake.
It's like a slice of bologna versus steak.
Cut Scotty in. Yeah. So you now are joined by at least, I think I've seen 2 other co-hosts on there. Not co-hosts, but other potential hosts when you're taking a day off.
Yeah, there's a small stable of guest backup hosts, I guess, other hosts. Matt Richards, who's great, and Sharon Carpenter, who hosts the UK show, who sometimes fills in on US. She hasn't done it in a while, but she's busy with the UK edition.
Nice.
So yeah, we've got a nice, we've sort of found our footing there. But it's been a wild ride, as Mike said at Coventry, which I'll never forget. It's been a wild ride. That's all he had to say.
There wasn't much else to say.
No, I know. I know.
Unfortunately. Well, let's hope that HQ Trivia ends better than Coventry.
Oh, boy. I hope so. But look, if there's an HQ 3.0, let's hope it's as good as Fish's 3.0, because, wow.
I know. They're back, right?
Back, baby.
They're back, and they've been back since 2009. Thank goodness,
yeah.
Right? If that was the end, that would have been kind of sad. But let's hope for HQ 2.0 and a 3.0.
There you go.
As successful as Fish, that would be awesome. HQ, for those of you who don't know, go check it out on the App Store.
Yeah.
I'm sure it's available on Google too. It's an amazing app. And Scott,
free app. You download
free.
It free.
And Scott's talking to you live, and he puts in tons and tons of jokes. And he weaves in kind of like Katie Turr. I mean, he's faster than Katie Turr.
Well, look, to be fair to Katie Turr, she works, she's wonderful, and she was the originator. But, she works for a major news organization. She doesn't have the leeway that I have.
Well said.
To just really go full bore with the Fish references. I mean, that's the thing. They didn't give me a script. They don't give me a manual. When I started this thing, it was just, here's the camera. You turn it on and start talking and be entertaining. And I try my best to just fill time with every, stray thought and every nook and cranny of my brain, which is mostly Simpsons lines and Fish songs, lyrics. So,
and you do know the lyrics well, maybe better than I do.
I mean, you wrote them, Tom. This is crazy being in the room with a guy who wrote this stuff. You know, I say you're the Robert Hunter to Jerry Garcia.
Well, like, thank this is you. Like, I mean, I get that now and then, and I always sort of feel like, you know, apt comparison in some ways, but in many ways, completely not.
Handsomer. Definitely better looking.
Oh, well, thank you.
And a better voice.
Oh, him you meant. Him.
Yeah, no. I don't think Robert Hunter fronted Amphibian.
Good point. He does have his own band.
He does.
Yeah, I think. He plays guitar by himself.
Inspired by like hobos and boxcars. You're inspired by asshole bosses at your old SAT job.
Oh. Ooh. ETS, that ETS. Is. Yeah. Mm-hmm. So ETS, the people who brought you the SAT and the financial aid form and the GRE and the LSAT and the MCAT.
All your favorite things.
Yeah, all your favorite things was once headed up by Ernie Anastasio Jr. That's Trey's Ooh. Dad. Ooh. Yep. So he was my boss's boss. And Buffalo Bill, that song that I think you were referring to there, Scott, was actually about my immediate boss, who was sort of a, unfortunately, he's no longer with us. So I'm not going to speak ill of the dead, but he was basically a gentleman. He absolutely was a gentleman. And I believe he might have had some British military in his blood. And he was sort of a tough whip cracker, so to speak. And I just had an unfortunate brush with him that became a song.
There you go. See, have you shared that before on the pod?
I'm not sure. I'm not sure. I feel I've told someone that, and I don't remember if there was a, you know,
microphone in front of me. Yeah. These days, it's like, when is there not a microphone in front of your face? Right, you have to
I know.
Talk to your friends with
well,
a
you,
mic.
With you, it's camera, right? So you don't...
Camera, mic, yeah. All that. Lights, camera, action.
So you have to look your best.
I do, which is, you know, my hair and makeup person, Stella, she does the Lord's work. She deserves a Presidential Medal of Freedom for what she's done with my face.
And then now and then you have, you know, Robert De Niro stopping by to say hello.
Robert De Niro, John Mayer.
Yeah.
We had, who did we have recently? Kevin Hart, The Rock. We've had some nice
pretty
guests.
Pretty amazing.
Yeah. We've cool. got Ellie Kemper coming from The Office, Aaron from The Office on nice. Our Thursday show.
Well, now that you've sort of broken in your guest roster, now maybe you could have RJB.
Yeah, yeah.
I think so.
It's going to take a little while. We need to do, you know, negotiations and contracts.
I mean,
and
this
that,
is so RJB from The Couch people. Report.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. Like, people what else could you ask
yeah,
for?
Yeah, yeah.
So, Scott, you, like all comedians, got your start with a political science degree.
Mm-hmm.
And
sure.
And then straight into comedy.
Yeah.
Have you always been into comedy, like, when you were growing up? Is this something that you came to later? How did you come to it?
It's funny, because I've been thinking about this lately. I truly never outwardly expressed, even inwardly, I never had ambitions to be a comedian. Like, I'm just gonna, you know, that's the honest truth. I growing up, I just didn't think of it. It was almost like, you know, it was inconceivable, you know, that you could see, that you can be that.
I don't think you know what that word means.
Ask Wallace Shawn. But I grew up watching a lot of comedy, listening to a lot of albums. You know, my dad had the Alan Sherman records, Weird Al Yankovic, huge inspiration. Adam Sandler's album, What the Hell Happened to Me? I mean, his albums were so influential. The Simpsons, you know, just surrounded by comedy, reading The Onion later on, getting into that, and just watching all the stand-up on Comedy Central.
Did they pluck you out of the comedy world, the HQ guys?
I auditioned for it.
And, oh, I
you know,
see.
I just actually the real connection there is The Onion, which I later, after I graduated college, I got an internship with The Onion. Met this guy named Nick Gallo, who 10 years later was working for the guys who started HQ, and you know they were looking for a host. And Nick called me up and said, "Hey, do you want to audition for this thing? It's this nice. Live app show." I was like, "Okay, really?" I was about to move to LA, which has been reported, and. I was all set to move. I gave my apartment up in Brooklyn, and I got this
Thank
audition.
God we stopped you from moving to LA.
Oh, my gosh. Yeah. Can you believe it? I still want to move to LA.
The brain drain to LA.
Come on.
It's a thing.
You could be bi-coastal, bi-continental. So anyway, I went up this audition, not thinking much of it, and got it, and stuck around, and here I am over a year later, still in New York. But to get back to being a kid and you know, was this something I always imagined? I mean, thinking back on it now, I guess I was different. Mm-hmm. Like, I was a different kid from the other kids, and I think all comedians sort of identify with that. And it's almost, you know, when you hear stories about people coming out as being gay, like, they'll say, you know, yeah, when I was younger, I gravitated towards the Ken doll versus the bar, you know, whatever it is. Like, you know, whatever those moments are, or I watched something and I fell in love with, you know, Jason Patrick or something. I don't know. Watching right. The Lost Boys, but for me it was like
for example,
get very specific about me personally. I'm also coming out on this podcast. I'm a comedian and I'm a gay man. No, Jason. I can't get Jason Patrick out of my head. That earring. So let's get to for me it was like the movie Airplane. When I saw Airplane at 8 years old,
right.
And when that shit hit the fan, when it literally hit the fan.
Oh, that was tremendous.
I had some like intimate relationship with that scene. Like it just convulsed me in ways that I never like laughed harder in my life. And I just opened up a whole new world to me. Like, this is comedy? That kind of sight gag, you know, could exist in a movie? Mm-hmm. Like it completely broke me open. And similarly, I mean, this is a joke, but like I knew I was a comedian when I would steal my dad's Playboys and go straight to the party jokes. Like, I read Playboy for the party jokes. Like, that's right. When you know. But, you know, but there is something different. Like, I was drawing funny things. I was making little videos, you know, obviously well before YouTube and the internet, on my little camcorder, making, like, little sketch videos around the house. And just not because someone was telling me to, just completely unprompted. It was coming from within me somewhere.
Were you rescued from political science and never really had to do real work and immediately went into comedy?
Yeah, I never used my degree.
Oh, okay.
You know, well, I guess I have those alumni blues.
I think politicians are good talkers and you're a good talker. So you could always go back to it if you wanted
to. Politics, the politics is also kind of innate. I mean, my dad was a politician for about 14 years. Locally.
Same last name.
We still have a lot of signs that could go up on lawns any moment I want to run. Re-elect Rogowski. So he ran for and won for the county legislator in Westchester County. He also ran for Congress and state assembly unsuccessfully, but county legislator for a good 10 years. And, you know, I sort of followed his footsteps in a way. Like, I thought, okay, I almost went to his college, University of Rochester. I decided to break there, but he was a poli-sci major. He went to law school. I figured that's exactly what I would do, and I ended up not doing those things. I mean, I got the poli-sci degree, but graduated and went straight to New York to do comedy because in sophomore year, that's when I did my first stand-up comedy class, and that's what got me on stage. I mean, the proto-comedy came from me being the student body president. So there's politics again. Yeah, in high school, I was student body president. Got elected fair and square, no collusion, no interference, and I got elected. I was like zero political experience in school. Never did governing council. Never did JSA model. You know, like all the stuff that all these, you know, career politician high school kids do.
Right.
I didn't do, but I still won on the basis of my funny speeches. And I would give these assemblies where I just make jokes all the time.
Oh, that's awesome.
So that was sort of, you know,
so
my
you always
proto
had a knack
stand-up
for sort of doing audience.
I guess
jokes
so,
in front of audience.
Which is funny because I was always like a shy kid too. You know, I would never.
I think a lot of comedians are, and they kind of, the ones that manage to break through that, you know, shyness are the ones that can do well. But like when you learn like the inside life of like Robin Williams, tremendously shy and troubled person, I don't think you're either of those.
I'm headed down that track too.
That's what you have to look forward to.
You know, it's great. You know, it's funny, you bring up Robin Williams, who's obviously a genius and an incredible talent, and, you know, one of my heroes too as a kid. My dad would always tell me, as I was doing comedy, and I would just be joking around all the time. And he would get on my case for not being, you know, serious enough. You know, he'd be like, you got to be like Robin Williams. You got to know when to turn it off.
Really? That's a guy that didn't know how to
turn
it
off. Right, exactly. This is what my dad would say. He's like, you know, Robin Williams, you know, he's successful. And I'm like, Robin Williams. So you want me to leave my wife for my babysitter? And then like go crazy with cocaine and then okay good.
Thanks Dad.
Thanks
for that.
Robin Williams, maybe not the guy you hold up as like, you know,
probably
the role model to live your life.
Not.
But
as far as comedy
talent.
Goes, for sure.
Yes.
But maybe not otherwise.
Yeah. So one follow up, Scott. So you're some of your breakout like comedy that got you recognized was video, right?
Yes.
So you had done video. Do you feel like, have you always felt more drawn to that? Because it's sort of different, right, than standing up in front of a crowd.
Yeah.
It's more storytelling and I guess trying to craft your own narrative, but without that feedback and reaction from crowds. Is that different to you or is it all just part of the same kind of skill set?
Yeah, no, it's definitely different, you know, being being on stage in front of an audience, like I did my Running Late talk show, which we just did in LA last month, and it was so fun, you know, when it's clicking and when the guests are great and there's an audience full of people laughing, like there's no better feeling in the world. When you're doing a podcast, you know, that could also be fun. Right. You know, when RJ's laughing, I mean, he laughs for 1,000 people.
Right. There's no audience. Exactly. Yeah. It's kind of like a dead room.
Exactly. And when you're doing HQ, there's really not even the co-host laughing or anything. It's just me talking to
no laugh track. Never any kind of
feedback.
Temptation to have anything.
And no heckling, which is nice.
But a studio audience ever consider?
I thought about it. I kind of pitched it to a little, you know, early on, like maybe even more like a talk soup type of audience, where just a few producers just started laughing, just to have someone to play off of.
But possibly.
They've never, you know, they want to maintain this mystery, this air of mystique around HQ. Mm-hmm. Where are we taping it, you know?
Osiris has a comedy podcast now called Amigos with Mike Fenoya.
Mike Fenoya's approached me about doing it.
Oh, okay.
So I got to do Tom's first.
Thank you. Yeah. I appreciate that. But he sort of is in the Comedy Cellar group. Did you come from that part of New York comedy?
No. I'm sort of an outsider. You know, which is another way of saying I'm not very good. all these people are like, I don't need the UCB system. I don't need the Cellar. It's like, no. The Cellar's the best. Like, I have never tried to get past there.
Well,
I don't
Jerry
know if
Seinfeld
I could.
And
so many people came through there.
Ray of course. Romano.
But there's other places. In New
yeah,
York.
I mean, there are a lot of independent, like, you know, just indie shows that pop up.
Oh, cool.
Back rooms and bars all over the city. It used to be downtown. It used to, you know, when I started out, God, I sound like an old man now, but this was, you know, not that long ago, 2006, 2007, there was a place called Rafifi on 11th Street, which was the ground zero for, you know, alt comedy in New York.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
And, of course, that place closed and because of the high rents. And, I mean, it became a Buffalo Exchange or something. And, like, every cool, hip spot downtown, Mo Pickens was another place. You know, the Bar 2A used to have shows. They all sort of migrated further out east into Brooklyn and brought the scene with them. But that's sort of where I cut my teeth in that scene. And then I started doing my talk show early on. Gotten to the clubs that way, but never, you know, never auditioned at a club. You know, so I've done my show at Caroline's, at Gotham, at the old comics before that closed, but never went like the official route. You know, UCB, I performed at UCB, but I never took a UCB class.
Got it.
Because I had my show get me in there, which is a good lesson if you want to, you know, you don't have to necessarily go through those proper channels. You can sometimes start something on the outside.
That's good.
Get it to a point where it's good enough and then, you know, bring it to the Osiris Network, perhaps.
Absolutely. We're always looking for new talent. So speaking of, let's get it back to fish a little bit. It's a fish podcast.
Sure. Oh, it is. I forgot.
And, you know, fish and the word comedy sometimes go hand in hand. There's some, you know, secret language. There's the antics that they do. I've been told unusual lyrics, although I can't come up with any, on the spot.
No, all those are written by other people.
They do, you know, there's a vacuum cleaner player in the band.
I think the drummer wears a dress. Is that true? The drummer wears some kind of dress?
He might.
I
wouldn't call that a dress. If you put that on a woman, it would be something else. It wouldn't be a dress. I don't know what that is. But is that why fish kind of was attractive to you? Was it the comedy? Was it the music? Was it the live show? Or like, how did you get into fish?
Yeah, I mean, it's funny. Like, you don't hear about a lot of comedians being into fish.
Right.
Stephen Wright. Is he?
Yeah, I met him at backstage at Fish. And
wow.
He is like my comedian. He's like my favorite comedian.
Oh, my God.
Comedian.
I didn't know that Stephen Wright was a fish fan. That's incredible.
Mike introduced me to him in Chicago backstage.
No way.
Yeah.
Well, that's good to hear. But you'd think like more, I mean, even like, you know, Emo Phillips or like Weird Al or like some of these kind of like, you know, out there comedians would be into it. I don't know. Maybe Weird Al is a fish fan. I have no idea. I should have asked him when I spoke to him. Maybe you should get him on the podcast.
Yeah, maybe we should ask him.
Yeah.
He's next. Actually. Yeah, he's already scheduled.
I had him on the show in LA when I did Running Late out there. But Fish came to me like so many Jewish kids from Westchester at summer camp. You know, that's really where I first heard Fish. Camp Baco up in the Adirondacks. I mean, the camp was just run by fish heads and Little Feet fans and Deadheads and just like, you know, all that stuff. I mean, all the counselors had just giant CD books with all this stuff. And that's where I got into really all the good music. you know, classic rock, Zeppelin, Hendrix, and the band. I mean, you know, I was 10, 11 years old, and I didn't have an older brother. My parents don't listen to music.
My mom forced me to a camp in the Adirondacks. I forget the name of it. Camp Mason. And the music at the time was Meatloaf. That was all that they
listened to.
That was completely, it was that album, Bad Out of Hell.
I mean, look, there was still Oasis. You know, like Oasis was the Meatloaf for my, when I was in camp. But the older counselors, like, it was just a thing that got passed down I guess, their counselors counselors. And, you know,
I like the thought of it. There's something like organic and Vermont-y kind of about fish, right?
Yes.
And I guess, you know, that you're supposed to, if you're an outdoorsy person, you're supposed to listen to fish.
And sure. I think people of our general age group, I mean, there's thousands and thousands of people who followed that same route, right?
Yeah.
The camp counselors who passed on fish and dead to people, and then they passed it on other. It has to be responsible for thousands and thousands of people's fish experiences.
Oh, my God. Like the whole, the summer camp industry. The fish summer camp industrial complex needs to be looked into.
You're going to tap into that somehow.
Yeah. Yes. But no, Tom, you should do a tour. What you can do is tour the summer camps during the summer. Geez. I'm serious. You guys can do this thing, and like, you'll be feted at every little mountain town.
Well, now, unlike you, I don't seek the limelight. That's why I'm you know, I got a face for podcasting.
What are you talking about? You have a shirt for podcasting.
That's true. That's just sort of a miserable shirt.
But I got to give credit to all, I mean, Hoist was like the album, I guess, that had just come out, or, you know, Billy Breed's came out a little bit later. But like, I just remember that Hoist booklet, just like looking at that thing, scouring it front to back, the old timey, you know, vaudevillian, like.
Yeah, those like 40s photos or 30s photos. Amazing. That was great.
I mean, I just reading the liner notes and like, just getting into it. And then the Avinu Malkain, you know, like the Hebrew at the end of that album that they're doing. Like,
there's a lot of tribe, friendly aspects to fish as well.
So that's the thing, like the Jewish connection too, because I mean, this wasn't a Jewish summer camp, but it was predominantly populated by Jewish kids. And
that's what happened to me at Camp Mason.
There you go.
I was the only
Do you feel like an honorary Jew?
Yes. Yep. I came back from it circumcised.
There you go. There's a song.
Yeah.
There's a song in adult circumcision somewhere.
Oh, geez.
But hey, I'm curious, like, if I can ask you a question.
All right.
I mean, I know I guess Mike and John are Jewish. So is that where, like, growing up, though, were you and Trey ever, you know, did you know Jewish kids in your high school or anything? Like, was there any kind of...
I didn't really know the difference, you know? It never really came up that much. I was kind of pretty much in a non-religious environment.
I just can't imagine another band, like, playing Avinu Malkeinu at a show. You know what I mean? Like...
Yeah.
The fact that, I guess, was that just John and Mike just convincing them, like, hey, we should do this?
Quite possibly. I mean, it's something that's like, if it's like ingrained as a tradition into you, you know, and it can come out in a humorous but also respectful way, it's perfect, right? Because it's going to resonate with people.
I mean, I've always thought about just, you know, being in Hebrew school and going to services all these years when I was a kid, like, man, let's remix these songs. Like, the melodies are really nice, but you put a little beat to it or something. And, like, you could have an album, like a serious
Fiddler on the
rock
Roof
album,
kind of thing.
You know, a rock.
That's what actually Fish is doing for Halloween.
Fiddler on the Roof. Dude, you're breaking news
this
here.
This could really
honestly, Tom, that would
turn out to be amazing if that's what ends up happening. If they end up playing classic Hebrew songs.
If they just covered like a Parsha, like a Torah portion.
I think this podcast is coming out when people are going to be in Vegas or on their way to Vegas on the 29th. So I just gave it away. I'm sorry.
Wow. Sunrise, sunset.
So Scott, we caught you between meetings. You're a busy guy running around New York City. And you were very kind and took us up on our challenge. And that was give me and RJ a mini HQ kind of quiz-like fish experience.
Yes.
Or should I say a fish-like HQ experience?
A fishy, trivy experience.
Hello. Just taking a quick break from the action before Scott gives me and RJ a musical fish trivia quiz. The words simple and the word contact resonate among fish fans already because of the awesome songs with those titles. And now it's going to resonate even more with all of you Under the Scales fans because we have a great new sponsor called Simple Contacts. There are a million things demanding your time. Contact lenses should not be one of them. So our new sponsor, Simple Contacts, is making the process of renewing your prescription and buying contacts simple.
Simple Contacts is the most convenient way to get your contact lens prescription renewed and to stock up on your brand of contacts. Instead of taking time off and spending hours at the doctor to renew your prescription, you can now do it online in under 5 minutes. Here's how it works. Take a quick, self-guided vision test from your phone or computer, then it's reviewed by a licensed doctor. In 24 hours, you receive a renewed prescription for your brand of contacts. So simple. This isn't a replacement for your regular full eye exam, though. You still need those occasionally. And if you do have a current prescription, that works too. Just upload a photo of that and order your lenses in minutes. Simple Contacts offers every brand of lens, and their prices are unbeatable. Plus, the prescription is just $20. Compare that with an annual appointment at your doctor, which can be $200. Shipping is free, and best of all, Under the Scales listeners get $20 off their first Simple Contacts order. To save $20 on your lenses, just go to simplecontacts.com/scales or enter the code SCALES at checkout. One more time, simplecontacts.com/scales or type in the code SCALES at checkout. Thanks, Simple Contacts. And now, back to our regularly scheduled program.
Well, you know, this is kind of a little bit of a redemption because I was unfortunately for all of us, curveball, of course, never came to pass. But I was supposed to be up there doing trivia for the festival goers.
Is that right?
That was supposed to be on the docket. And
These are some of those questions.
So yeah, perhaps I have some of those questions here that I would have been quizzing with all the fans up
If I may, could we do something where we give the audience like 10 seconds to answer, similar to
tweet your answer,
similar to what? No, not necessarily tweet it, but
think about it.
Keep your score. Tell us what you get out of 10 and tweet it to what was the hashtag you had come up with? It was a good one, Scott.
What was it? Stump the scales? Stump the scales.
Stump the scales. Right.
Hashtag stump the scales.
I like that.
Hashtag stump the scales. So tell us your honest score. Right now, our lawyer, you know who I'm talking about, RJ.
Yeah.
When he hears this, he's going to absolutely cringe.
Yeah, he's
going to apparently, we've every single thing we've done where we address the public with any kind of challenge, we've done it wrong.
Uh-oh.
Yeah.
Well, I can say this without any legal advice behind me. I'll give you an HQ sticker. I'll send you an HQ stickers. If you get the highest score.
Okay, perfect.
So tweet at me too.
There it is.
That's Scott Rogowski.
Stump the scales.
Okay. Stump the scales. Are we going to do this?
All right, we're going to do this. So we're going to give the audience 10 seconds, and then RJ and I are going to take our best attempt at answering it.
Okay. Now, the first few are song specific, lyric specific, okay? And then we get into more of the, some more number-based trivia. All right?
Okay.
What do you say we, I don't know. I think I've got the time if you've got the inclination, so... Cheer up, H cuties. It's time to get down to the nitty-gritty.
Quizzy McGuire.
Here comes Quizzy McGuire, hoster nutbag, Quizman the family berserker, Quiz the Eskimo, Marco Quizdolus. See, this is what you're missing out on when you don't play HQ. I drop all these over the heads of everybody.
It's amazing, and it's so fast, and it flies at you so fast you couldn't possibly remember them all.
And people, I love that people are thinking, Are your writers Phish fans? Do your writers writers?
Writers, yeah.
And like, if there were writers and they were feeding this into some kind of script, do you think I'd just read it with such glee?
Right. And just how Scott talks, you guys.
Do you think I'd be like so enthusiastically talking about Gamehenge? Like, what the hell are these people thinking? Those are the strangest people on Twitter who, hey, are you a Phish fan by any chance? Like,
nope, not so much.
Yeah, I mean, oh, God. I don't know if you realized it, but you made a Phish reference. So I even realized. Ah, Jesus, like, get a life, people. But follow me on Twitter.
And play HQ.
Okay, here it is. Cumero numero uno. In Rogue, what kind of music descends from overhead? Happy, shiny, or funky?
Wow.
I'm giving multiple choice like HQ. This is how HQ works. Think about that. Rogue. Dun-dun-dun.
Yeah. Oh, man. Because it's like the circus, you know? So there is a certain type of music that descends.
I like the shiny music that descends from overhead.
It was very shiny at Hampton. Wow.
Yeah. Were you there?
Shiny version, yeah.
Oh, my gosh.
Great.
Circus is. fairs and clowns and noise. I love the shiny music that descends from overhead. Gordon knew the moment when the stars all turned around.
Shiny music. Now, did you write that lyric?
I did.
Now, well, explain shiny music.
Oh, boy.
Versus, you know, funky music or happy music. What is shiny music?
I mean, I think we all sort of know what it means innately. Every now and then at a fish show, the music's shiny. And I think I was thinking of the show experience.
And like the lights.
Circus lights. Yeah, exactly. Yeah. Yep. Something along those lines.
Hmm. Shiny, yeah. Happy people?
Yes.
Was R.E.M. ever R.E.M.? Influenced there?
Yeah. Mm. A little. I mean, I went to a couple shows, so quite possibly.
There yep. you go. All right. Well, we're going to stick with the lyrical theme here. Uh-oh. In Sparkle, who do you get in a car with? Hmm. Lil, Ed, or Jill?
Now, okay. We're supposed to wait 10 seconds.
Wait 10 seconds.
But I was going to say...
See, like instead of the Jeopardy music, we can have like just little fish drops.
Apologize to Lucy Lil. Converse with Ed. They'll drive with Jill. Your friends can find you in their worlds. One by one, a string of pearls. Confused, you say, this isn't me. You hover in their unity. Change you slowly, loose your grasp. Release the links, undo the clasp. The skin that drips down off the
So Lil is in there, right?
Lil, and so Ed, and Jill are all in there.
Yeah. But the one you get in a car with is a drive with.
A drive with, right. A drive with Jill.
It's Jill. It's
you
Jill.
Apologize to Luce and Lil, converse with Ed, and drive with Jill.
Wow.
Your friends can find you in their world, you know?
They do.
One by one.
Kind of like a string of pearls a little bit.
You've told the Sparkle story before on the podcast, I think.
I think I have.
Right?
I was gonna say a string of anal beads. I thought that was... I thought that's where you would go with that lyric, Tom.
I don't think I want to tell the story now juxtaposed with what yep. Scott just said.
I think that's fair.
Okay.
All right. Sorry for ruining that. I've always wanted to do a...
anal bead?
More of a triple X fish.
Oh, geez.
Like, you know, pornify fish. I actually was having this conversation after the Meriwether show with some of the guys from Pigeons Playing Ping Pong over there. We were walking out and, you know, there's cum like an antelope. Were we talking about this too?
Not me, no.
No?
There is the thing that exists like in the fish lexicon from way back, I think, you know, it's been proposed.
A girl begins to masturbate, fuego.
Wow.
That's
you know?
Good. Yeah.
There's a lot. But
there's a lot of them.
And so, you know, every now and then when Trey and I get together, a joke song will spin off and it's like way too dirty for it to become
See,
a
we got to hear these.
These can be heard.
These need to be released.
These we know, you know, we have a bunch of them.
Fish and, After Dark.
And at one point, Trey and I, and this is like 15 years ago now, proposed the idea of having an album called Horrible Songs About Fucking.
That's great.
I think I just removed my explicit lyric.
Yeah,
I mean, I have to now.
But... Yep, it has to be there.
Yeah.
stool sample in a jar. That's the sample they're talking about, right?
Different kind of porn, I think.
You wrote that after a colonoscopy?
Oh, boy.
Okay. See, this is where my brain wants to go at all times. I try to hone it in.
All right, rein it in a bit.
Rein it
Here
in
we
there.
Go.
Okay. In Heavy Things, what is Tilly best at doing? Probing and tearing ventricles, quaking and cavitating, or leaving two holes in one's face.
Vanessa calls me on the phone, reminding me I'm not alone. I fuss and quake and cavitate, I try to speak and turn the stone. Until he reaches through my vest to do the thing that she does best. Probes and tears my ventricles and steals my one remaining breath. Things are falling down on me, heavy things I could not see.
To do the thing that she does best.
Tilly.
She opens up my vest and probes and tears ventricles.
Yes.
Yes.
And steals your one remaining breath.
We
would also accept it. Steals also, your one remaining breath.
So also let, an acceptable answer.
There's Jilly, Tilly, Shiny. I'm seeing a pattern here. All right, Q4. In fish lore, what did the young man think the cowering fool might be looking for? Stones, seagulls, or owls?
I could take this one.
Take this one because I think you wrote this one.
This could be a challenge for people.
I'm trying to think.
This is a toughie though. Stones, this is a throwback.
If it weren't a multiple choice, I wonder how many people would have come up with the answer, which is not stones and is not seagulls. And in fact, I'm not sure if I've ever put those two words into any songs.
Really? Stones? Pebbles and marbles?
I have the rocks will fall away at last in walls of the cave. Pebbles and marbles. So pebbles are in there and pebbles. Rocks are, but I'm not sure if stones are in any song. But
no left turn on stone.
Uh-oh. Well done.
And I see you.
Look at you. That's amazing. His dictionary mind, his encyclopedia mind.
So I'm good, baby.
The answer is owls, of course. Looking for owls, the young man asked.
Oh, boy.
And that goes back to our Buffalo Bill discussion right at the onset of this podcast.
Looking for owls? To lighten the tension, and the scowl he received as his only reply made him smile as he relived the mansion. And the cowering fool walked on alone, quite proud of the fear he instilled.
Coward fool.
Cowering.
Yeah. Well, Fish.net has coward fool.
Yep. They have it wrong. Hey, Scott Marks or whoever. Get
Fish.
On that.
Fish.net.
Yes.
We can get that edited.
We need to edit that one. Originally, yeah. Anastasia Marshall right there. Who is she music? And who is she? Who is the she and who is she music? That's question five.
But is that really?
Well, it is now.
I'm going to answer that. That it's Marley, Trey's dog. It was the Fish dog. Marley went on tour with Fish for every single one of their shows for all of Fish 1.0. So at the end of 1.0, Shoreline, I remember Marley was actually, you know, on her last legs, literally, and she had to stay home. And I remember the band, Trey had told me that when they had their meeting, which was, you know, they were kind of sad, you know, it was a sad breakup sort of meeting. Our last show, you know, the first breakup, and Marley couldn't be there, and they all sort of mentioned that they missed Marley. Mm-hmm. Right. So that was. I think when they saw her, they would all sort of go, "Who is she?" and get her all excited. And there was an accompanying story there that she would sometimes, if she was really excited, roll over on her back and send a stream of pee straight up into the air.
Oh, Marley and pee. There's your next song or book or movie. Marley and pee. Yeah. Now we're getting back to the gutter here.
Marley and Me, of course, a beautiful dog movie.
Beautiful dog movie.
Just sort of maligned by Scott.
Mm-hmm. Marley and P. Well, that was... Okay, this would be a real Q5, because that one I didn't give multiple choice, and I didn't know the answer to.
Okay.
But I'm glad you explained it. Who Absolutely. Is She Music, which is your publishing title.
A publishing arm
BMI.
Of Fish. Yes.
Yeah, there you go.
Yes.
All right, here's the real Q5. What is the first and last thing on the cousins list? The cousins list. Do you know what I'm talking about? The song?
I sure do. Think of a song with
Think
cousin.
Of a song with cousin. Is it kissing,
of course.
Tequila, or Marley?
That one you didn't just come up with off the cuff, did you?
I didn't have multiple choice for that one. That was a...
So tequila's where it starts and where it ends. That is the list. That's like after you've crossed off all your friends, the one thing that remains is your friend, your Mexican cousin. Always on the list.
I'm awful sorry you got pissed.
Yep.
Well, I'm awful sorry you got pissed. I'll just have to cross you off the list of my true friends. And tequila's where that starts and where it ends. Mexican cousin.
So interesting, Tom. Mexican cousin.
Oh, yeah.
About tequila.
Oh, my gosh, yes.
You wrote this while drinking, what, a white wine spritzer?
Exactly.
Maybe a Mike's Hard Lemonade? What inspired this song?
waking up the next day after Tequila Tom had his way. And honestly, I did, you know, had a few tequila nights, and I were exactly what happens in the song happened, where I kind of had to learn about some of the things I did or said from other people. It's a situation that you don't want to have happen to you many times in your life, because the things that you learn that you did or said are often not wonderful. And so I just felt like some... I wanted to be put into a hearse and driven away. And, you know, you don't really... If you don't feel like apologizing, then you have to say, "I'm sorry you got pissed." Right? That's not mm-hmm. that's one of those fake apologies.
Right. I'm sorry that you're mad.
Yeah, I'm sorry that you're mad, and I'm crossing you off the list of friends. It's really mature.
Just have to cross you off my list of my true friends. So you're giving up true friends.
Yep. In favor of tequila.
In favor of tequila.
Yeah.
Wow. Tom.
Yeah. Yeah.
RJ, I think it's time we tell them this is part of the reason why we brought you here today. It's for an intervention.
Yep.
On writing songs about alcohol, because it really is one of the lesser fish songs. In fact, I was at Nassau when they played this in an encore with Contact.
Yeah. Didn't go over well. Didn't go over well.
Was it 03?
It was 03.
Yeah.
That was the
show, right?
That was the show. It was not that it didn't go over. It was just the ones, you know, for me, it was like, it was a new song at the time. And I'm just like, okay.
What did you want instead?
I mean, I wanted like Antelope or something,
right,
you
right,
know?
Right.
Good times, bad times.
Every now and then. Yep. Every now and then sort of, you know.
They don't play that often.
Depends on the mood of Trey possibly, or if anyone else called it. But perfect placement for me was the first time they were in Mexico. And I heard Mexican Cousin, and I was so happy.
That's where you play it. Yep. That's all the yep. only place where it should be played.
They just played it two nights ago at Hampton for the first time since that Mexico show. Almost 100 shows.
Yeah. Oh, wow.
Yeah.
It's a rarity. It now it's a deep cut. You know?
Yeah.
And so that's the thing about these songs. They take on lives 15 years later.
That's true. And then when Fish plays in Alaska, ooh, I gave another secret away. They're going to play the song Alaska.
Alaska. Alaska. Idaho, Nebraska. I don't know, Alaska.
He's going to take away my job.
I'm sorry. Why do I have to? This is what's in my brain. This stuff comes out in HQ. Like I've said that before in HQ.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. Idaho, Nebraska. Yes. I believe I was playing that one.
And in fact,
by the way, I've never gotten past, I don't think, 10.
Really? Well,
10
yeah.
questions.
Well, that's
10's pretty good, though.
10's good.
You've been kissing the Mexican cousin too often. You got to lay off that. It's going to kill your brain cells. But, you know, I heard from you, in fact, you told me through Trey that, no, sorry. You told me that Trey plays HQ with his daughters, and he was blown away when he heard the first Fish reference, because he didn't know. He said, all of a sudden, I'm playing, all of a sudden, I say, they call me the sloth, because the answer was sloth, and he flipped out. Isn't that nuts?
That's awesome.
So you have a million, more than... Often millions of people playing, but knowing that Trey's playing, does that make you a little more nervous?
I can't even tell you. I mean, there's no way he's playing anymore. but the fact that he played at all, the fact that he knows who I am at all, you know, like this thing can all just end now. The world can just blow up and I'll... It's one of those things, like I'm pretty... Every time I get depressed, you just think about things like that. Like, yeah. No, Trey has played HQ.
That's
and
so
like,
cool.
Life
That's
will
really
go
cool.
on.
That's it really happens. Cool.
You know,
it life happens. Will go on. Yep.
And Tom and RJ are in my friend's apartment right now recording this podcast.
We are.
We totally are.
All right, we got to get to the rest of these questions because I'm sure, like on HQ, people say, "Shut up, get to the questions." So that, they're saying that right now. They're screaming at their iPhones, their podcast devices. All right, next question: what venue has Phish played more than any other? MSG, Alpine Valley, or the Gorge?
Now I know RJ knows this like the back of his hand.
You know your venues. You know,
I know
your
it.
Stats.
I do.
What do you got, RJ?
I'm gonna guess.
Please do.
I think it's that early Burlington one, the front.
The
front, which I didn't even give as an option.
No, but that's a good guess. But no, it's very close to here, 1.5 miles maybe, Madison Square Garden.
Yeah.
Right down the street?
It's within a few miles.
The front, they played a lot, though.
Yeah, 33 times. Madison Square Garden, 56.
56
Oh, my God.
Times.
Wow.
Selling out every single one?
Yeah, probably.
Are they approaching
close,
Billy
right?
Joel territory here?
It's so funny. There's always like a funny Billy Joel banner up, and there was a Billy Joel banner up in, was that Albany as well?
Oh, there was?
Yeah.
Man, he's got banners everywhere.
Yeah, and Phish has a banner there. So wherever there's a Billy Joel banner, Phish aims to have a banner.
That's amazing.
I want to see a Phish-Billy Joel collab. Can we make that happen?
I think yes.
I mean, that's the thing. I want to talk. Can talk
this
to
Halloween,
for hours.
In fact.
Are they doing 52nd Street? That's the album? Glass Houses?
It's the third set after the second set of
after Fiddler on the Roof.
Yep.
Then it's going to be Billy Joel.
Yep.
Breaking serious news here, guys. The Stranger. I am the entertainer. Imagine if Trey just busted out with the entertainer.
Yeah.
Captain Jack.
It could work.
There you go. Captain Jack with a Mexican cousin back to back.
Ah, back to back. Captain Jack.
Mm-hmm. All right. This is one of my favorite questions. We're nearing the end here. What song does Phish play in their guest appearance on The Simpsons? Yem, Antelope, or Divided Sky?
Interesting. Now, my kids would even, I think, know this because they've seen that episode many, many times.
Yes.
But the favorite thing that they used to like to say was a one and a two, and you know what to do. Which I don't think Phish has ever started a song
Trey
with.
Trey needs this to do yeah. on Halloween. Yeah. If you're listening.
Yeah.
A one and a two. Yes. And then what did they know what to do in that episode?
Antelope.
A run, 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 run. Yes, they did. 2002, The Simpsons. Phish onto the show. They appeared as themselves. And here's another bonus question. Who approaches Trey with his medicinal marijuana slip in that episode?
Oh my God.
Because they smelled marijuana and they say, they better be medicinal. It was a rally for medicinal marijuana. Homer was smoking pot medicinally, which was a big deal in 2002 on Fox. The network censor, you know, where we're going a little nuts about it. But they got it through as long as it was not glorifying marijuana use. They brought Phish on. And who approaches the stage with his certificate in the tie-dye shirt and backwards hat?
It's not Homer?
It's Hans Molman.
Oh.
And Fishman, Fishman reads his certificate. Man, this guy is seriously ill. And Hans says, my doctor never told me that. I had to hear it from Phish. It's so ridiculous. Hans Molman.
That's amazing.
No one escapes the Valley of the Moles. That's another episode. Okay. Oh, dear. Okay. Can you name, this is our penultimate question here. Can
it.
You name all 10 Phish festivals? Not multiple choice. You got to name them, kids. All 10. Go.
All right. Quick question. Is Curveball included?
Curveball will
no.
not be included.
Because it was canceled. So it was canceled. Not technically a fest.
Work no. backwards from Curveball.
All right. Is Oswego a fest? Because that one.
Yes.
Okay.
Yes.
Are you sure about that?
Oswego.
It's counted in the In the fish history canon. Yeah.
Oswego. Right.
Well, there, that's one.
Camp Oswego.
You've been at all of them.
Okay.
You can do better than that.
Clifford Ball. Great Went. Lemon Wheel. I'm done. Coventry.
Yes.
Coventry.
I'll give you Oswego Festival also.
8. Festival 8. How about Millennium?
Oh, Big Cypress.
Yes. How about 2003, the one that I went to?
Help me.
Up in Limestone, Maine.
One word.
Round two.
Two letters.
Short word. Stephen King novel. Clown movie.
It.
Christine.
It. Yes. Christine. Clown movie. You had me a clown.
Pet Cemetery. And then two more balls.
Oh, yeah. I need one more. Oh, yeah. Super and Magna.
Yes. Okay. Great. Good job, everybody. Final question. It all boils down to this because I really have to run to a very important meeting right now with the remaining members of the Allman Brothers.
Is that right?
No. Okay. Here it is. Who is the road-tripping duo in Destiny Unbound?
Aha.
And I'm not going to give you multiple choice on this one.
All right.
But I will give you a hint. I didn't mention these names earlier in the quiz because you love to rhyme this syllable.
Well, I know that rotary dude.
Yeah.
Rhymes with ill.
Yeah.
And
yeah.
Must be Bill.
Must be Bill. And?
And go, RJ.
Highway Jill.
Highway Jill and Rotary Bill. Bill and Jill.
What a great couple.
What a great couple. And the reason I'm going to close with this thought here. This song, one of my all-time favorites, because I was there, as I mentioned, I think it was the same Nassau show with the Contact Mexican Cousin.
Yep.
Encore.
I had Destiny.
Destiny Unbound, a 796 gap, 796 song gap. And I'll never forget, I've had a few moments like this in my life, only a few moments. Johan Santana pitching a no-hitter at Citi Field. I was there for that. And just hearing, you know, and being in a stadium full of people just losing their minds. At Nassau Coliseum that night, February 28, 2003, Destiny Unbound hits. I never heard this song before. Look, that was my first show ever.
Oh,
my
it was.
First show ever.
That's fantastic.
That boded.
One of the best shows incredible. Ever, right?
Yeah.
And I'm hearing the song. I'm like, what is this? And everyone's, and you hear the slow
they flipped
wave.
Out.
But it was like a slow recognition because like very few people had heard that song.
Right.
And it's just like this rising crescendo of just like
minds
being lost.
It was a major bust out back when bust outs were bust outs.
Like the first. Biggest bust out of all time. And like, I fell in love with the song. I mean, it could have been a bad song. Imagine if they bust out with a bad song. But it was a great song. And then I saw it again in 2009 at Fenway. They played
it again.
Saw it again. No. But isn't that nuts?
That so, is
Destiny Unbound. I've like caught a couple of these Destinies. And it's stuck with me. And
perfect.
Highway Bill.
Well,
Highway
Fish
Jill.
Is clearly Rotary. In your destiny, obviously, interwoven into your... what you do daily, which is awesome. And we had to get you on for, if only for that reason, but also because we met recently, Scott. We had a great summer seeing Trey play
solo.
In Central Park.
Yeah.
That, I got to say, was kind of surreal. Walking in Central Park and hearing a sound check, and I think it could have been Frost or Winter Queen, all of a sudden hearing my lyrics sung by my best friend, rolling over the Central Park Hills. It was like, that was very, very surreal and bizarre. Because this was still like 4 or 3 or 2 o'clock. It was like way before the concert.
Yeah.
And I didn't expect it. And all of a sudden, amplified Dre kind of rolling over. That was amazing. And then meeting you, Scott, was great. Hanging out with another Scott Metzger that night, too, was great. So two Scots and a Trey.
Trey Trio.
It's a good night.
You know, listen, we'll do this again.
Yeah,
we'll do this again.
Absolutely.
Yep. More trivia. There's always more trivia coming your way.
Well, we appreciate your turning in Under the Scales into a trivia show.
Stump the Scales.
We're going to do that again. Yeah, hashtag Stump the Scales. Tell how many you got right. And Scott will give you a sticker.
Congrats, Scott, on all the success,
hey,
man.
Thanks,
so
man.
Cool.
And congrats on the Cyrus Network. I love this thing. You guys are kicking it.
All right. Well, you're invited on anytime. Once you podcast, let me know when you can do it.
Remember, our destiny is unbound.
It is. All right. Thanks,
my
everybody.
My afternoon is bound. I got to go.
Okay. Osiris.
This podcast is In the Loop, the Legion of Osiris Podcasts. Osiris is creating a community that connects people like you with live experiences and podcasts about artists and topics you love. Get in the loop at osirispod.com.